Daniel chapter 9, the first two verses, the Bible says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. What stuck out to me here, and what got me this word from the Lord was, I, Daniel, understood by books. I titled the message, I Understood. I believe, and I believe society bears out, we're becoming a decadent nation. And I'd submit that a great cause of such is the decline of the reading of books. I can't say I know anyone that reads books. But yet Daniel, one of the greatest prophets of God, said, I understood by how? By books. The Lord himself, when he fended off Satan, it was actually by books, because he said, it is written. Daniel understood by books. Now, I clearly remember the very first word I ever learned from a book. I remember like it was yesterday. It was a long, long time ago, almost 70 years ago. And it was my first day of school, Caroline Elementary School in Corpus Christi, Texas. And the first word that I ever learned from a book was Tip, T-I-P, name of a dog. His name was Tip. Because he had a different color on the tip of his tail. They called him Tip. It's the first word I ever learned from a book. Now, let me say I'm not smart, but I am well read. And especially one book, which you can imagine. And as Daniel, I understood by books. And I could easily say, I, Smokey, understood by books, because I do. And people say all the time, well, how do you know this? And how do you know this? And people, Melissa knows, people call me during the week and they ask me things. Not because I'm smart, but they know I've read books. You see, the mind's like a muscle, and the intellect, it requires exercise. And that exercise, I'm going to tell you today, it cannot be received by media. And you must get that. There is a, it's like the difference, I guess, I didn't think of any illustrations, but reading is a manual exercise. You have to turn the pages, and you have to peruse, you have to scan, you have to study the punctuation. There's no punctuation in me. I can't remember the last time somebody punctuated a text to me. The punctuation is gone. I don't even see paragraphs in the text that I receive, you see. So it's like an automatic thing. It'd be like walking versus riding on a cart, an electric cart, okay? But so this exercise that I speak of this morning that Daniel had, it came by books. Jesus, over and over, he said, it is written. The incredible things of my life are that which I read. I have several. If you go were to go back where I sit and I read and I study, I've got several different color highlighters back there on my reading table for reading, because I read so much. It's the only possible way. Sometimes I go back for reference, and it would. I don't understand how somebody else in life can go through life without a highlighter or a notepad. You see, I don't ever remember going to church without a notepad. Not ever. And sometimes I'd forget. I'd say, hand me my pen. Right in the middle of the service, right? I'd say, give me my pen. I'd write. That's how you get books. People write, you see. the Shunammite woman, when Elisha, she made a room for Elisha, if you go back and read in the Bible, in the book of Kings, and she set up a little room for Elisha. And all it was furnished with was a bed and a table and a candlestick. You look around your house. Well, we've got quite a bit more than that, don't we? What else did he need? You see? What more required to read? Table, a candlestick. And if you don't have a place in your home to read, well, you're sore lacking. And your understanding will be greatly diminished. Now, I'd ask you this morning, how's knowledge going to be passed? You think by media, but that's not going to work. And the answer is very simple, it won't be. The old adage, nobody actually really knows who said this. There's some surmising, but the pen is mightier than the sword. And it is. That's why it's such a big deal about this this Elon Musk controversy, you see. And I would wonder, how is it that you don't read those who you know well knew the Lord? I mean, I read books by men that I know they had a knowledge, an in-depth knowledge, a personal knowledge of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. But we don't read books. I think everybody knows what we call the left is taking over our country. Not by sword, but by words. Simple words. The communists said many, many years ago, they said, you'll become communists and we'll never fire a shot. Never fire a shot. Just words. Ideology, you see. Now, you and I, we must never forget that those that are outside Christ are natural creatures. I like Charles Haddon Spurgeon called them worldlings. I like that. The worldlings. And we're to come out and be separate from them. We're not to be unequally yoked with them. And there's another reason we're to come out from them, not be yoked to them. Because they are not our kind. If they're outside of Christ, they are not our kind. But that doesn't, now listen, this may sound crass or cold, but it's not. That doesn't mean they're of no use to us, like the Shunammite woman to Elisha or even David's mighty men. You know, history teaches us of the decadence of many great societies. I think the epitome of such might be Rome, the Roman Empire. Although it seems like it was a long time, it's probably the most profound that we would have any knowledge of, you see. There's a certain decorum to polite society. And I'd venture to say that a lot of that has to do with the well-read. Did you know I spend a lot of time with people? And it's not very hard to spend you don't have to spend much time at all to figure out who's read, or you might say well-read, and who isn't. And then you won't have to spend much more time figuring out what it is that they read. And I can say the same is true about media, perhaps. If you go to the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament, Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a lot of people I've preached for years, and they don't seem to know their talents, and we've been over and over this, or their gifts. Well, here's something right here. This is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Study. I wouldn't embarrass you, but if God knows. How long did you study this, the Word of God this week? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. We're to be a workman. And working in what? Studying. Books. Studying to show our workman, show ourselves approved. That needeth not be ashamed. In truth, most would be sorely ashamed. And that is the only way you'll divide the Word of God correctly. Rightly dividing the Word of God. I didn't rightly divide the Word of God the first time I read this Bible. No, the second. I don't know how far I got into it, how many times I read this Bible cover to cover, where I finally, and then I started rightly, the rightly dividing came. But I had to work at it. I had to study this book, you see. How such done? Reading, rightly dividing, reading. So this is not merely a suggestion. What I'm preaching on today is not a suggestion to children of God. We're to study to show ourselves approved as workmen unto God. I preached many years ago, how might one answer who's never read the book? I'm talking about cover to cover. In other words, how are you going to answer? You're going to get to heaven and you're going to give account. God's going to have an accounting of all every moment in your life, and you've never read his book. Not one time. Now I'm talking about reading it from start, just like you watch a movie, from the beginning to the end. The word in to the word amen. More than once. Study. I think Melissa said that Spurgeon read Pilgrim's Progress over 100 times. I had a deacon that he'd read it every year, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Have you read it once? I mean, it's definitely in top five, maybe number two. Besides the Bible itself, maybe the second best book ever written in the history of the world. Pilgrim's Progress. It's hard to imagine this today, but it was what required reading when I was in school, a public school. Caroline Elementary, we said the Lord's Prayer every morning. A public school. We said the Lord's Prayer. Pilgrim's Progress and the Lord's Prayer, public school. And you know, I didn't grow up going to church, but I had a sense of right and wrong, of law and order, you see. In 1963, when I was 15 years old, all that changed, all that stopped. We started murdering the unborn in this country. No more Pilgrim's Progress. No more Lord's Prayer in school. And there I was at the most impressionable age, 15 years old, full of vim and vigor. What do you think I did? Took away the law. Stop disciplining a child and you'll figure it out. It won't take you long at all to figure it out. You see, the law is for sinners. Many years ago in this work, I led a Bible study. And after more rabbit trails than I could fathom or put up with, and more foolish and unlearned questions, I declared no more questions. Unless you've read the book. If you've never read the book, if you've never read the Bible, no questions. No questions. I also led a study on what the church calls the rapture. and to avoid foolish and unlearned questions on the subject, I laid down the foundation and some rules on that thing. Only arguments allowed had to be backed by Scripture. Not what you thought, not what I thought, not what you believe, not what I believe. You had to have a Scripture to back up your hypothesis. And if you didn't have Scripture, it wasn't allowed, you see. And the opposition had only one Scripture. One Scripture. One. And I had a board. I don't remember if it was a blackboard or a whiteboard. On the left side, I had those that believed in what the so-called rapture. And they had one Scripture from the book of Thessalonians. What, I have 20, 25 Scriptures? I don't know, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 Scriptures on the right showing that there's no way in the world that there's any such thing as the rapture. All Scripture. What do you think they did? No, they all left. They just got up and left, you see? You see, I read them. I read the book. How many times do so-called Christians or professing Christians get themselves in trouble by fielding foolish and unlearned questions? You know what the Bible calls those that engage in such? Heretics. Heretics. I couldn't agree more. Because I've been asked more than I ever want to try to answer. Foolish and unlearned questions. And they're foolish and unlearned. You say, well, by whose account? Well, I've read the book. By God's account, I've read the book. And today we've got a whole society of such. Because now they just Google and they know. You know, this morning I Googled, I wanted to read an expose on true religion. And I wanted to read some ideas on what some men thought would count as true religion. Not from the book of James, per se. See, you had to read the book, no, that's in the book of James. But do you know what I got when I, have you ever texted, just text the word true religion. And the first page that do anybody ever go to the second page when they Google something? I think everybody just looks at the first page with the first 10, the top 10 or whatever comes up. Not every single hit by Google on true religion was about, I think, blue jeans. It must have to be a blue jean called true religion. There is true religion. And it had Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue. And Target and I'm wanting to read about true religion. Foolish and unlearned questions. You see, and that's why such surface knowledge has such a shallow depth. Excuse me. It's surface knowledge. And on the surface, it sounds really good. People can sound very intelligent. But when you dig a little deeper, you know, the French philosopher Descartes, he said, reading good books is like a conversation with the finest people of the past centuries. I never, never read fiction. I've got all the fiction I need in my mind. I don't need to read somebody else's fiction. My mind spins fiction all day long. I wonder, where's that line? You know, it's like that thing I showed the kids a while ago. You spin it, and it's sparking, and fire's coming out of it. And, well, there's my mind. Where in the world did that come from? I want to know, it's like I used to say, I don't want a book by somebody telling me how to ride a horse. Have you ever been on a horse, sir? No. That's not the guy I want to tell me about riding a horse. That's not the guy I want standing in the pulpit. That's not the guy I want asking me foolish and unlearned questions about the Word of God, you see. I want to have conversations with the finest people that I can. And that's why I read the good book. For it is written. You see, it is written. I choose to converse with not only the likes of Noah. Ever heard of Noah? Abraham, David, Elijah, Isaiah, Peter, John, Luke, Paul, Ezekiel, but God himself. How do you do that, preacher? Read the book. And the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1, and the Word was God. The Word, it was in the beginning, was with God, the Word. And it was God. What a magnificent, significant prospect. The Word of God. That which is God before my very eyes. Reading and having conversation and fellowship with God. Daniel said, I understood by not Google, not iPhone, not laptop, not Twitter, TikTok. I understood by books, not e-books. Books. How do you understand? How do you understand? I understand by books. How do you understand? Now, in closing, if you would, turn to the book of Hosea. If you have a good Bible, Hosea chapter 4. It'd be on page 1079 if you have a good Bible. And verse 6. And what did he say? Look at it. What did he say, brother?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How do you get knowledge? Books. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Because they rejected knowledge. Now get that. God said, I'll reject thee. I'm going to reject you. You never read my book. Never. I'll reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I'll also forget thy children. You see, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. And then if you go turn a couple pages over to Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. And he said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. And then he tells you and I to break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's our charge right there. How do you do those things? Well, I just spoke about it. To break up the fallow ground. The renewing of your mind. Remember? Paul said, by the renewing of your mind. Even the Lord said, it's written. It's written. You see? Is it not time to break up the fallow ground? Is it not time to seek the Lord? And here he is right here. I'm staring at it right here. I've got it right here. And over on that wall, I've got a bookcase. And it's full of books. I think I've read almost all of them. And that doesn't include the ones that are in storage. You say, I don't have... Yes, you do. You know, I read most of those books when I was working anywhere from 60 to 80 hours a week and preaching five times a week. Didn't have near the time I have now. You know, when a man that I learned, I guess, the foundation of what I know by, from a man, Brother James St. John, when he died, nobody wanted his notes or his books. And I got them. They said, do you want them? I said, yeah. I often wonder, I've got boxes of my notes. I mean, boxes. You have no idea. I guess the silverfish will eat them one day. You see, men who broke that ground. Many with their lives. And Daniel said, I understood by books. By books. You claim to understand by what authority? I understand by books.